Wow! You light up my life. You're the ones that gave me hope when I didn't know there was any hope for me. I want to thank you. I want to thank every one of you for being here this morning. My name is Liz Bailey. My anonymity's been shot to hell for a long time. And you're looking at one of the most grateful alcoholics that you've ever could look at in your life. I want to thank the committee. I want to thank Tom. I want to thank, her name is Joni. And I want to thank Joe, Artie. I don't see Charlie, but there was a Charlie. I had three gorgeous men meet me at the airport, you know. And I met Mike, which was great. And I've met so many of you today, this 2 days, that's mind-blowing. I have to know how to stay in my place as an alcoholic. Because all this love and fanfare could blow you straight to hell, I'll tell you the truth. Could blow you away. You got to watch when it start happening. And I want to thank Dennis. Dennis has been my right arm for 2 days. I've leaned on him for everything. I've ate lunch with him and talked with him. And Dennis, I'll never get over it. Now, ask Dennis to do this to me today. Because, see, when I get up here, I get on a roll. And I don't want to overdo it. Because anything is overdone is undone. Remember that. Anytime you overdo it. I want to thank all the previous speakers. I've been with them before. And boy, if when they tell you put on a seatbelt for the rest of these 2 days, you better do that. Because I've been with these guys that's coming up. They were wonderful. And I met June this morning. I think her name is June. I'm still sober. And I'm going to look forward to hearing her. And I just can't thank you all enough and tell you how much I love you. Now, I have not gone out and gotten anybody a new story. Because the one I came in here with was a Lulu. And I want to thank Brenda for last night. I almost had a revival sitting over there. I was sitting over there crying and I said, amen. Amen. Lord, I was just carrying on with Linda sitting in that one chair. I'll tell you, it was beautiful. And my sign languages, I've just been eating them up for the 2 days. They are something else wonderful. You know what? I told them, I've warned them about me already. I said, slow me down. Because I work them to death, you know that. I work them to death. I want to thank the crew that had Danish and coffee with me this morning, Linda and I'm going to get it. Tell it to me. June, right? I should never forget the month of June. Okay. I'll put that in my computer. June, thank you. There was a minister preaching one time. He says, if you drink alcohol, you're doomed to die. And the little old lady down front, she said, amen. He said, if you smoke those cigarettes, you're doomed to die. And the little old lady said, amen. He said, now if you chew tobacco, she said, look at that. He stopped preaching and gone to meddling. So I'm going to go to meddling. I have a beautiful young lady sitting down in front of me named Linda. And I love her so dearly. And we talk on the phone from here to New York quite often. And Linda's been following me around for a few years also. And she's here today in her wheelchair. Can we give Linda a round of applause? I have another girlfriend that calls me on the phone from Florida. All my friends moved from New York here. But I'm not planning to move to Florida. I'm sorry, too. But Vi has 42 years that I've been with Vi. Where's Vi? Viola? Did she stand up? Oh, okay. All right. I just want to recognize you because I've been with you for 42 years like a 39-cent stamp. When I get them, I don't let them go. Artie calls me 3 or 4 times a week, too. I'm in Florida, really, in New York, in my bedroom. Because all you guys call me from here to New York, and I thank you for those calls, too. You show me that I'm not doing anything alone. I'm going to tell you what I used to be like, how I got to AA and what AA has done for me. I picked up my first drink at the age of 12 years old. And as I look back, I was a stone alcoholic at 12 years old. But I didn't know that. Ignorant all the way. When I drank, I thought that's where it was. That's how it was supposed to be. And a lot of people used to tell me about my willpower. I didn't know what willpower was. I know many a time I had the will that I didn't want to drink, but I had no power not to drink. And I love my granddaughter today. She says, well, you know, Nanny, you had a choice. I said, no, silence is golden. Because I didn't have a choice, honey. I would like to have had a choice. But once I picked up that drink at the age of 12 years old, my mom made rice wine. Now, I don't know till today why she made rice wine. I had an alcoholic father who I watched a policeman beat him half the time. And the blood would just spatter. And I'd watch neighbors hit him with frying pans and the blood would spatter. And I lived right in front of Mother Cabrina Hospital. And I watched my dad come out of that hospital wrapped like a mummy many, many times. And I grieved about it. And yet and still, thank God I was in AA when he hung himself out at Central Islip. Till today, I think I would have drank myself to death about my dad hanging himself. But I couldn't understand my mother making this rice wine, as much trouble as she had with him. Now, I've never seen my mother take a drink in my entire life. And many years in AA, I'd like to give her 2 drinks and bring her to hell in here, though. Because I know she could have used the whole 12 steps, 12 traditions, and even the concepts, you know. But she made this rice wine from the ingredients she received from the welfare. And she left me and another girl named Marion to sieve it through cheesecloth. Show you the difference. Marion sieved and sipped 2 drinks and she went home. Liz sieved and sipped. Oh, honey, I just sieved and sipped. That stuff was good. I kept on sieving and sipping. I put on a drunk at 12 that was a drunk, and I listened to my mother lecture to me all night. But I had the nerve to go out in the street the next day, and I shook my little self and told my friends, whoo, what a ball I had. I don't even remember what the hell happened, to tell you the truth. Now at the age of 14, I began to sell King Kong booze. It was King Kong. It stood you straight, and it knocked the hell right out you, too. And the man made it in the bathtub next door. And I bought it by the gallon. I was selling it for 40 cents a cream pitcher. Now, somebody, I heard one of the speakers, I think it was Brenda, they told Brenda, did you the one, or Keith, maybe he did it. But they told me to take mayonnaise, olive oil, butter, cream, line yourself up, Liz, then you can drink plenty and make good money. Well, that King Kong went all through the mayonnaise, the olive oil, the butter, the cream. So I stopped taking that. But I drank plenty of booze. I made good money. I put a better table because I'm the oldest of 5. And I put shoes instead of sneakers. So now I'm making good money. So one night I'm laying out the window. I live 1 flight up in Manhattan. And I see this sharp dude. Oh, girls, he was so sharp, almost fell out the window. And then he had a roll of money, and I said, woo, there's a live one. You know I was always looking for a live one. You know that. I don't even deal with deadheads in AA either, you know. I'll tell you that. I'll tell you that. So I went, and he had this roll of money, and I said, "Ooh, let me go down there and latch on to this dude." I went latching on and found out it was a $5 bill around a lot of ones. But he's so cute, who cared? So I started from uptown Manhattan, and I went all the way down to the east side, giving them a play. At the age of 14, you could not tell me I wasn't a woman. I'm drinking, I'm partying, I'm hanging out. So I asked my mother, would she sign for me to marry this man? He's 10 years older than me. And my mother says, "Oh, no, dear. Oh, my dead boy. Oh, he'll have you out in the street, and you'll live a terrible life with him." Well, I don't know till today, because I didn't know any AA or nothing like that. I wish she had to shut her mouth. Because, see, I found out I'm an alcoholic. You do not tell me what not to do. Don't do it. That's why I love Al-Anon. They're teaching us we didn't cause it, we can't cure it, and you damn sure can't control it. So you do better to let it go. But see, my mother preached, so I'm going to be determined to get Mr. Bailey. So I left New York at the age of 17, and I went to Baltimore, Maryland, where my friend lives, and standing up in the courthouse at 17, crying my heart out, the minister stopped the wedding. He said, "Would you mind telling me, young lady, what you're crying about?" I said, "At last I got him. I'm going to be honest with every one of you in this place. That was the sorriest day of Mr. Bailey's life." When he said, "I do," to Liz Ulrich, Mr. Bailey never stopped crying. From January 3rd, 1939, till he went home with the Lord, August the 12th, 1986. That was a sorry day. Because now I came back to New York with the marriage license. No more mama. No more neighbors. Nobody's going to tell me how to live. Woo! I got a marriage license. Well, I began to meet Mr. Bailey coming in from work. "Where you going, Liz?" "Get a quart of milk." I'd come back a week later, 2 weeks later, whenever I could get back. Now I'm on my knees. I'm sorry. I wore that out. Now I'm suffering with guilt and remorse because I'm drunk all the time. And now again, I'm just going to take one and relax. Two to get started. Three, I'm off to the races. And I've planned many beautiful birthday parties, and I never showed up. Because after the shopping and the cooking, I had to go to the bar. I hung out in Sutton's Bar and Grill on 177th and Jamaica Avenue. I had to have one to relax. Everybody would be to the parties but me, because I'm drunk and I'm gone. Of course, now I tried switching brands, trying to drink beer. Then they were trying to show me how to get a cheap drunk with wine and beer. I was in enough trouble with the booze. So I didn't want that. And I watched myself go down. Now, many, many people pulled me up on the carpet. "Why do you drink the way you do? Why do you act the way you do?" Woo, I could rattle off excuses a mile a minute. My main excuse was loneliness. I cried of loneliness all my life. All my life. Looking for someone to love me, to understand me, to do something with me. And I could never find it in the streets of New York. Never did find it out there. And so I kept drinking. And I watched myself go down. Now I began to hit hospitals. Every time you looked at me, I had a new patch somewhere else. My arms are all sliced up, putting my hands through window plate glasses. I don't care how much I drank outside. I had to have something when I got inside. So I'm laying up in the couch. I used to smoke. And here the couch and I are on fire, putting holes in the walls, burning up the furniture. Total insanity. And I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do about it. Guilt and remorse again. I have to drink because I have to drown it. I can't live with it. I'm going down. And I remember one morning waking up with my head coming off my body. I took Alka-Seltzer, Anacin, BC, I put a raw egg in the beer. That was a meal, you know that. And I thought that would help my head. Now, I had told Mr. Bailey many, many times, when I'm on a drunk, shut up! And when I'm coming off a drunk, shut up! The man couldn't win either way, you know. So he just walked away. But this particular morning, I am very sick. I'm so sick. And I reach over and I grab my Bible off my night table. Maybe I'll find the answer in the Bible. How to straighten this rotten, filthy life of mine up. Mr. Bailey passed my room. Put that Bible down, you hypocrite. Put it down. 20 minutes to an hour, you'll be so drunk, you'll be slapping one of the kids down, hopping a cab, or swinging a corner. I didn't know he knew me that well, you know. I really didn't. And so one day, I jumped up in the window that day. I'm going to take my life. And just as I'm ready to throw my body down into the yard, I'm up on the second floor. There's a man, a Nana Backer, she's down in the yard. Mr. Bailey! Mr. Bailey! You better get her, she's going to jump. And I see his head come out the next window. His hands came out. He says, Nana, will you let that bitch jump? He says, I'll be rid of all my problems and all my troubles. Please let that bitch jump. Well, I tell you, I got down out of that window. I sure did. Got back in the bed, covered myself over and slept that one off. I said to Mr. Bailey, maybe if you drank with me, haven't you non-alcoholics heard that? Maybe I wouldn't want to drink so much in Rome. Because, see, once I pick up a drink, I'm gone. I can't stand your silent treatment and don't be looking at me cockeyed. And I damn sure don't want to hear your mouth. You know that. Don't want to hear your mouth. And I'm the one that used to come in fighting to keep you off me. I'm wrong as I can be, but I'd come in fighting. Then you'd have to back up, see? And that crazy stuff. So I remember saying to him, maybe if you drank with me, I wouldn't want to drink so much in Rome. Well, he went into Manhattan with me one night, and he got drunk, came home, hit his head in the radiator, and bust his head open. I guarantee he never took me out again. But to show you the difference in him and I, now he did it one time. I hit that radiator 10 times. Wouldn't mean a thing. Wouldn't mean a thing. Keep going right back in, do the same dumb thing again and again. See? And I'm watching this about me, and I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. So again now, I remember saying one night, Mr. Bailey said to me, you know, you're a lovely wife when you're sober. Drunk, you're a Jekyll and a Hyde. Why don't you try this AA? Ooh. I had never heard AA, because my company didn't talk like that. And I remember cursing him out. I laid his soul to rest. You know what I told him to do at AA, too, don't you? Okay. He walked away from me. I thank my God till this day that he did not beat me with AA. And we do not beat you into AA. We attract you into AA. I'm standing. No, we don't beat you. We don't beat you in here. Because I was standing up in Brooklyn a few months ago, and I said, if you see what I got, and you say, what I got, and the guy winked at me. I said, man, I ain't talking about that stuff. I said, look at this. I got to rephrase this thing. I got to say it differently. But we don't beat you in here. They used to tell me years ago, the door swings both ways. It sure does. But so again, thank God Mr. Bailey didn't beat me. I drank another 8 to 10 months. Broken ribs. Girls, don't fry a frozen chicken drunk. Please don't. I went around my neighbors and I got drunk in the back of me. And I'm coming home and she says, you know, Liz, you ate my husband's dinner. I said, well, I'll give you a dinner over the fence. And I go in there drunk trying to fry as a frozen chicken to burn up both of my legs. These legs stayed like raw meat as long as I stayed out there drinking. I came in these rooms. These legs healed. You would never believe I had ever been burnt. These are healing rooms. You know why? Because we're under the sunlight here. We're under the sunlight of God. I don't care who you are, what you are, what you think. Greater is He that is in you than he that is out there in that world. You know how powerful this room is today with each one of us with this greatness in us? It's in you. Whether you like it or not, you're the Spirit. We're made of the Spirit. Of the Spirit. And you can go to that Spirit anytime, any place you choose, which is so good. Oh, Brenda, I knew what you were talking about. I knew what you were talking about. And I had to learn that. I didn't come in here with that. I came in here cursing God. Cursing Him. Because, you see, life wasn't going my way. It wasn't treating me the way I thought it should. And as long as I cursed Him, I stayed sick. I stayed sick. Migraine headaches. Couldn't lay my head on a pillow. Deep, deep depression. Isolation. I cried a lot. 5 solid years I cried in here. Until one day it dawned on me, this is a gift. This is a gift. Not everybody gets this gift. And if I've got it, I better treasure it. And so then I began to grow spiritually like that. They tell you, you first come, you come to, then you come to believe. And that's how it happened to me. I started with one hand in God and the other one in AA. And I'm on a journey, not a destination. I'm on a terrific journey. And boy, what a journey. 54 years, solid journey. A lot of pain to gain. A lot of fight for the victory that I have today. Didn't come easy. Easy coming or the easy go. But anything you fight for, you hold on to it. And you'll suffer the pain. You'll grow. G-R-O-W. But I'm going to get back to when I came to AA. I'm right up to it now. Where I remember there was a lady coming to visit to sell insurance for the house. I never called this a home, girls. Mr. Bailey was a furrier. Every time I had a little period of dryness, he'd make me another fur coat. I have fur coats like beans. And one year he made me the most gorgeous leopard coat you ever laid your eyes on. And you know what he did? He brought that coat home, threw it out on the bed, threw a party for the job. I looked at that coat and I hated it. And I gave it away. I said he made it so he could spot me anywhere. I had to get sober to want my coat. I had to get sober to realize how sick I was. As long as you stay in the booze or the drugs, you never see how sick you are. You can't see it. It doesn't allow you to see it. I had to come up out of it. It was too late for my coat by that time. I was sleeping on the park bench 3 blocks away from me. Woke up one day on that bench and I said, oh, Liz, there's something wrong with this picture. Something wrong with it. You live 3 blocks, you got a brand new bedroom set, new mattress in spring, and you're on the park bench. Didn't know what to do about it. Didn't know what to do. Drinking with the guys in back of the barber shop or on the corner. Anywhere there was a bottle, Liz was there. I drank in Sutton's when I had money, but when I had no money, I went down to Monic's. I'd borrow $2 from you. Baby, you got that $2 back every time because I'm going to hit you every time. I didn't come in here owing nobody anything, thank God. Because whatever I borrowed, I gave you back because I knew I was coming back to you. And I'm still going down. Dr. Graninger bandaging his finger. Broke my finger in 2 places. And he's saying, Miss Bailey, please stop drinking. Please, you're going to wake up one day where you'll be very sorry. I listened to him preach to me about this finger, and I walked right straight to the bar after I left him. That's where I took every situation anyway. I could drink all night on this broken finger. Oh, I got a lot of pity. Got a lot of pity. Have another drink, Liz. Have another drink. And I did that. Now watch me go down. I thought having children would help me to stop drinking. It didn't help me. I didn't drink while I carried the babies, thank God. But the minute one of them babies came out and said, well, off I'd go. Off I'd go, so the children didn't stop me. I had three children when I came to AA, 12, 10, and 5. Going down, I'm watching. You can watch yourself go down. I watch me go down. And finally, when that lady was coming to sell insurance for the house, I got up that morning and straightened up, left the dusting to last, made salads, and the telephone rang. I'm now drinking with hard two-fist drinkers in the VFW hall. Not that they're all drunks, but I'm hitting them heavy hitters. And if you took a drink like this and sipped it for 20 minutes, you got on my nerves. I got away from you. You didn't have to get away from me because you had to drink like I drank. And so this, I heard the guy's voice, and I banged up the phone. He called me back the second time. I heard his voice, and I banged up the phone. He called the third time. I said, man, don't bug me. I'm going to stay here to see this lady. Haven't seen her since I'm 8 years old, and I really want to see Miss Lindbaum. Well, I banged up the phone, and you know what happened? I went over to the post. And I'm 85, and I haven't seen Miss Lindbaum to yet. I done forgot what the lady looks like. I woke up in my children's twin beds. And at the foot of this bed stood my mom and Mr. Bailey. And my mom is screaming to the rooftops, and her head is just going that somebody done something to her. Somebody done something to her. And Mr. Bailey got his head going. And he's saying, no, Mom, no, Mom. Nobody's done anything to her. She happens to be a very sick girl. Well, my name was Bitch. I ain't never heard no sick. And you know, the bitch is drunk again. The bitch is gone again. The bitch, that's all I heard, bitch. And I'm going, and here I'm a sick girl. Something went all over my body. I still can't explain it. But I got up out of that bed and I went to the basement of that house. I stayed in the basement for 2 days praying to die. I wanted out. I wanted out. I couldn't do it any longer. And my oldest son, 12 years old, was sitting there. And I said, Richard, I can't live this life. This is not the life I want to live. Look at this. You can't depend on me for anything. And the big book says this, but I don't know about the big book at the time. But it said he could and he would if he sought. And that second night in that basement, you've never heard me scream so in my life. Oh, God, please help me. And most every drunk I have listened to in these rooms have cried out to God to get the help. And that's the only place I know it to come from, too. So something said to me, as clear as I'm speaking to you, try this AA that your father has told me about. They didn't have any women, Holly, when I came to AA. I'm so happy to meet this lady here who has 57 years coming up. It's wonderful that she was here to keep the doors open for me. Thank you, darling. I thank you. Yes. Yes. And I'm so happy you women are coming out of the woodwork, out of the closets, from under the rug, wherever you've been. Thank you. Welcome you. Come on out to get the air. Get the air. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you. So she gave me a place to go intergroup in the city. And I don't know about you girls, but I used to go to the beauty parlor and get my hair done nice. And I'd get drunk, and the booze would go straight to my hair. I had Afro way before Afro came in style. I sure did. And Mr. Bailey would give me money for clothes. I never looked too tough because I want to drink up the money. But I'm coming to AA. And she said to me in the office, first of all, I had a hard time getting up the stairs. I got in the middle of the landing. From here on in, you'll see how God has worked in my life. When they say God will do for you what you can't do for yourself, it's so true. Because I got in the middle of the landing, and I started to go back downstairs and said, the hell with this AA. The lady looked down the stairs at me, and she says, are you having trouble? I said, yes, ma'am. I was having trouble getting up the stairs. So I ran up to her. She escorted me into the office. Now, I don't know about you or anybody else, but my mother always taught me, don't you dare go out and tell nobody where you got your black eyes or your fights or what goes on in your house. You leave it in your house. Don't you take it out there. And she's sitting there telling me about herself. She's hitting me between the eyes, just like Brenda did, and just kept hitting me. And she said, Liz, you know it's the first drink. I says, oh, come on, sweetie. I've been drinking for 19 years. She said, Liz, when you pick up one drink of any type of alcohol, even down to cough medicine, it's only a matter of time that a compulsion builds up into you that you have to go all the way. Ooh, I've seen myself drink a pint on Monday, drink another pint on Tuesday, drink a fifth on Wednesday, drink a fifth on Thursday. Friday, I'm knitting without needles. Have any of you knitted without needles? And I got to go get that drink to get me back in focus. Get me back in focus. So I understood her. And I never forget one day sitting there, had a bad cold, wasn't even thinking about a drink. The baby's godfather, Lambert, came up. He says, how you doing, Liz? I said, man, look at me. I got the worst cold in the world. He ran around to Cohen's Pharmacy, brought me back a bottle of cough medicine, took a teaspoon, brought out to the stoop, gave me one teaspoon on the stoop. I go in and I take two teaspoons and come back and sip. I go in and take three teaspoons, come back and sip. I went in and took the bottle, gurgle, gurgle, gurgle. Went on a drunk, woo, that from the cough medicine. Wasn't even thinking about a drink. So when they tell you don't play with that alcohol, and I've received two papers, newspapers from Florida. Don't let nobody tell you alcohol is cooked out, because those two newspaper clippings tell me it's not cooked out. See, and you can play games with your head. See, I've never played games with my head, because this is where it starts, right up here in the top of your head. And I know that. So here again, I'm going to AA. And I walked into my first AA meeting. And here two people are at the door. They always kept two people at the door. Because once you got in, you did not get out. Mm-mm. And it was none of this walking around that you guys do today either. Oh, no, 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 no. And I'm going to tell you another thing. When I started to run out of that room, this man slapped me over here on the shoulder. And they did not talk nice to you back there. None of this mammy, bammy, bammy stuff that you all get today. No, no, no. They belted you because they meant business. And you know what he says? Where are you going? Because I was getting out of there. I was running out of there. I didn't know, the girls looked at me behind the bar and said, you don't look like an alcoholic. I said, oh, Jesus, what did I get myself into? Let me get the hell out of here. And I was running. And he slapped me over here. He says, what's the matter with you? Where are you going? I said, the girls said, I don't look like an alcoholic. I don't know what an alcoholic looks like. I'm about to lose my mind, my home, my children, and everything through drinking. He said, have a seat, sweetie. You in the right place. And that was July the 11th, 1952. I came in here at the age of 31. 13 up here. 13. I had allowed booze to rob me of so much in the streets of New York. I mean, it robbed me. I remember telling the girl today, I came in here with high heels, slits up the side, low cut backs, and I switched all over AA. Baby, I covered some ground in AA. And you know what? A priest sent me a message. A priest said, ask that broad what she doing in AA. I said, oh God, I'm not dressing right. I had to learn how to dress right. I went on my first 12-step call. I had a very bad mouth. Bad mouth. That hell and what I say now is nothing to what it was. And I, the woman walked me to the door. She said, you know, Liz, you're a lovely person, but do you have to have a mouth like that? I said, ooh, I'm not talking right. So I had to learn how to talk. I didn't know I was highly emotional. I didn't know I was highly sensitive. I knew nothing about me. Absolutely nothing about me walking in these doors. And I picked me a tough sponsor, Little Flo Melody. And I'd go to whine to her. I mean, I whine to that poor woman. You know what that woman told me? AA don't need you. You need AA. Oh, I just cried. I went right on back and whined some more. She told me to sit on the pot or get up off. She ain't saying that nice either. They meant it, I'm telling you. She was my sponsor for 28 years. So she went home with the Lord. I have another sponsor now for 33 years. I will not be in AA without a sponsor. I don't care how long I'm sober. We can do together what I can't do alone. I need somebody to talk to also. I do. Because my mom never talked to me. I had nobody to talk to me before I came to AA. Nobody. And I needed that so bad. Someone said to me, your sponsor's got 33 years and you got 54. I said, she got quality. I got quantity. And we're together, that, and we go on cruises. We do nice things with each other. We talk nice. We go to parties. We go to luncheons. We do things together. We don't criticize and knock each other down. And we don't look for perfection in each other. We let each other be who we are. And don't ever tell Liz Bailey I fired my sponsor. You ain't hired nobody in the first place. No, you haven't. Get one. When I came to AA, AA was 17 years old. 150,000 members. I've been privileged to grow with AA. AA is 72 years old. And it's got over 3.5 million. So don't tell me you can't find a sponsor in 3.5 million. There's got to be somebody good for you in one of these rooms. And just love and care for each other, that's all. I just did a write-up in May Grapevine of this year. And I let you know the difference that I've seen in AA. I want to see that enthusiasm come back. This committee has enthusiasm when they ran down that aisle the other day. Yes. Yes. This committee has worked tremendous to put this on. It's a lot of work into this. It's not a play game here. Get into action. Get into action. You'll see how beautiful you'll appreciate your sobriety because it makes you part of. It's good to be part of something sober. And I love that sign when it came out from Florida here too. I am responsible. When anyone, anywhere reaches out their hand, he wants us to be there. Or Liz. I have been trained in AA to never say no to anyone. I've been saying yes for 54 years. And praise God. Because in the giving, look at this, in the giving I receive. And in the giving I keep. That's just how simple it is. And it's not that I, me, my, and you want more. No, no. It's we can do together what I could never have done alone. I'm in the store with a young man that took me shopping one day a couple of months ago. And I couldn't find anything. And I was going around like somebody crazy in the store. And I said, Tommy, I don't know what's wrong. So he says, yeah, Liz, you're not working your program. I said, what do you mean I'm not working my program? He says, you got to ask for help. And that is God's truth. We have to learn to ask for help. And when I asked for help, I got help from every direction. And then they assigned one woman to me to take me in all the departments. You see, I asked for help. And I don't have that kind of pride even today. If I need help, I'm going to call somebody. Twice in my sobriety, I thought of a drink. Just twice. See, Mr. Bailey did not like me sober. Oh, that man didn't like it. And he tried for 10 years. Oh, he worked overtime. Oh, to get me back in the streets of New York. He couldn't take the new me at all. Every time I started to a meeting, he'd curse me down, talk nasty, and I just kept going. Just kept going. And I've never had a car in my whole sobriety. And every night a different white dude picks me up. You know that. And I upset my neighbors something terrible. From a drunk to this, what is she putting down? But you see, I got to remember, for many years I didn't know what I was putting down, but for many years I know what I'm putting down. It's wonderful. Wonderful. And so again, I had the honor and privilege of speaking for our late co-founder, Bill Wilson. I spoke for Bill Wilson's 28th anniversary. 2,700 people that night, all the dignitaries were up on the dais. I asked Mr. Bailey, would he please come and sit with me up there? He said, get another husband for that night. My girlfriend said, you're going to ask him again? I said, hell no, I'm the speaker. So I didn't ask him. But at 3 in the afternoon, he showed up at the Hotel Commodore. You guys lined up out there, thanked him for me. The man couldn't handle that. He came home like a raging lunatic, banged every pot on the stove. I've got to get rid of you. I can't stand you in this sobriety. And here's where our tools, we have tools, 12 steps, 12 traditions. And my tool, 3 and 11, said, if you pick up one drink, you don't have Liz. You pick up one drink, you don't have Mr. Bailey, and I didn't have him anyway. And I just told you, when I pick up one drink, I am not in that house. So I left Mr. Bailey. I stayed away 24 years from Mr. Bailey. I went back in his last days to take care of him. Because when you're sober, more will be revealed to you. And I could honestly look back and say, I wasn't a good wife. I wasn't a good mother. I was not. And I was privileged to make amends to Mr. Bailey. I took care of him in his last days. And he said to me one day in the hospital, take my hand, Liz. And I did. He says, you know, I would have been dead a long time ago if it wasn't for you. And he said, you know, I really love you. And I screamed. I have been married to Mr. Bailey 47 years, and I never heard it. But I got it before he cashed out of here. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't let Mr. Bailey die. You all know that. Because I was down in Estill Beach speaking, and the lights went out when I mentioned his name. I was in North Carolina, and I mentioned his name, and the sirens went off. And then I got on the beach to celebrate my anniversary, and the rain came down the minute I... But three times and it's over, thank God. It works in threes. But I was grateful that I could go back and make his last days really good. I had been called to nursing school and I tried to get out of it. And Miss Kelly would not let me out of it. So I ended up going to nursing school and I graduated with an 88 average. And the head nurse, as she handed me my diploma, she said, Liz, if I ever took sick, I want somebody like you to take care of me. And you see, I could use that nursing to take care of Mr. Bailey. That's what helped me put the bag on him and all the things I needed to do. Now, I'm fighting against it, so don't fight against stuff. when God is opening up something for you, grab it. Because you never know where you're going to use it. And I'm grateful that I did that. I have an older son, the one 12 years old, who has hated my living guts for this whole 53 years. Hated me. Told me he would never forgive me or forget me. Couldn't afford to let that bother me because I found the God in here. And the God that I found in these rooms has forgiven me, 70 times 7. So any man, woman, or child want to hold my past over my head has to be their problem. Last year, Richie made 65 years old. Called my granddaughter, his daughter, to wish her a happy Mother's Day. She says, Nanny, your son is here. You want to speak to him? I said, Crystal, I don't know whether I want to speak to him or not. He's so nasty. I don't dial for pain. I don't dial for nobody to talk nasty to me. No, I don't. So I said, but you know what, Crystal? Put him on that phone. I had him 65 years ago today. And he got on the phone. He says, hi. I said, hi. He said, how you doing? I said, I'm okay. He says, well, I said, I wanted to just wish you a happy, happy birthday. And that was the end of that. So when she's driving him to the airport, because he lives in California, she said to him, Dad, how did you enjoy your birthday? You know what this sucker said? Crystal, I had the best birthday of my life. I spoke to my mother. Took him 53 years. But I haven't heard from him since. You see what I mean? We live one day at a time. And you can't use that word expectation too often. You expect people to think and act and do the way you want them to do. It doesn't work that way at all. I've got to learn to accept people just like they are. I had another son named Dennis, the handsomest dude in the world. He was an alcoholic and an addict. I want you young people, whom I love very dearly, the right road may be hard, but you'll be the winner. It's good to be a winner. The easy road, the price is heavy. And I used to tell that to my son. He chose the easy road, the $100 shoes and the slick suits and the slick hats. Some guy shot and killed him in between two houses in Brooklyn. Thank God I was in here and I didn't have to drink. And I don't cry for the dead because you disturb their beautiful spirit. My Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. In my Father's house there are many mansions. And he goes and he prepares a place for us. Isn't that wonderful? I don't walk around crying for my son. I don't do that. I had a sister, gorgeous sister, with 5 children. I met her on the corner one day and I says, get away from mama. Anybody's enabling you to stay drunk and sick, you got to get away from them. I says, go get a room somewhere. She walked away from me and went into Manhattan and jumped 30 floors. Her crushed body laid 5 days on a canopy. I didn't have to pick up a drink. I had you. You're my support. And my God, that I found in here. He's so great. I had that 5-year-old daughter. I'm in Colorado Springs, getting ready to speak. Getting out the driveway. Girl opens the side door and drops to her knees. She says, your daughter just passed at 1:20 this afternoon. I watched my daughter suffer with Lou Gehrig disease. A beautiful girl went to a living skeleton. I'd walk every day from that hospital crying through the streets of New York. But there again, I was with you when that happened. And thank God I didn't have to pick up a drink. Thank God. Just think about that. I've gone up and had 9 operations in 41 years. I've been cut to pieces. I've taken these scars and turned them into stars, baby. I don't dwell on those scars. No, no. I'm loaded with them, drunk and sober. Drunk and sober. I went up and had 3 operations in 6 weeks. The doctor said, you've got cancer. I'm going to give you 6 months to live. I said, you're not giving me nothing because I live one day at a time. One day at a time. I'm now 35 years an arrested cancer patient. The doctor's dead. I'm not. Come on with me, because I'm still flying up in that air, 44 years in the air, hopping trains, planes, buses, subways, hopping them dudes' cars every night. Some of them I pray to and pray fro, because the way they drive in New York is sick and sad. But I take that risk, and I jump in them cars for my life. And I'm going to tell you, you can look at me, God is a good God. Good God. I have diabetes now. It took me 79 years old to get diabetes. I don't let that diabetes bother me. I need a drink of orange juice. I'll cry out to you and everybody else, get that juice. Where's that girl? I asked her yesterday, get that juice for me. And then I get the juice the minute I walked in the restaurant, because I know my sugar had gone low. And I got to eat every 3 hours like a newborn baby. What can I tell you? But I take my medication and do my follow my directions. I was thinking about the little kid with the broken down wagon and how he's going to put the wagon again, throw the directions in the garbage. And the wagon is going all lopsided. He had to go back to the garbage and get the directions to fix it right. I like the one that Leo tells, that he was mowing the lawn. And he filled the lawn up with gas, and he left a quart of gas there, and the dog drank it, and the dog kept going around the circle after he drank the gas. He tried to catch the dog, he couldn't. All of a sudden, he grabbed the dog, he couldn't get him. The dog flops over. What, did the dog die? No, he ran out of gas. I said, isn't that good? That's good. I finally made Alaska. Last year, I made Alaska. I got up in Alaska, and I said, gee, I got the monkey off my back, but the circus is still going on. I don't drink or drug, but life is still going on. Life is going on. And we come in here, and we learn how to face this reality, which is very hard. I live with a 33-year-old granddaughter. Look at the difference, 50-some years difference. And I got to remember, she's only 33. She can't think like me, and I damn sure don't want to think like her. So I had to learn that silence is golden. You'll see me every once in a while. I'll put a zipper right across here. Don't say a word. Where you going, Nanny? To a meeting. Oh, over 50 years, you're still making the meetings. Bye. Out the door I go. I cannot tell her that I'm not cured, that the progression of alcoholism is still going on inside of me. I will never be cured. And I love you guys who go out there and come back, because I haven't heard it in 54 years. That is so fine out there. I believe you. That's why I'm not going back out there, because it's out there waiting for me. Satan don't like me sober. Oh, he tests me all the time. He'll put something in my way. But I learned through the Bible, James 1, verse 12, in this life, you're going to be tested upon tested. But if you pass that test, God's got something good for you. Believe Liz when she say, put money in your baskets that go in your rooms. Please do that, because that pays the rent. One time in AA, you didn't have to pay rent. But then when they start putting insurances on buildings, they had to charge you rent. And so coffee was 25 cents when I came in. And then it went up to $1. Now today I put $2 in the basket because the coffee is high. And groups are self-supporting. So think about that. They have to buy literature, pay rent, cake, coffee, for you to come in to put $1 in. No dues or fees. Look what you're getting free. Free. It was freely given, so you should freely give. And it's wonderful. Anytime I have ever given anything, it has come back to me double fold. Watch it happen in your life. Watch it happen. It does happen. You hold it to you, it's no good. My daughter's granddaughter says, why are you giving me this? I said, because I came in the world with nothing and I'm leaving with nothing. So while I'm here, I'm going to give and do the best that I can. I'm going to suggest, and notice I'm not telling any drunk what to do, because you don't tell a drunk what to do. Keep making your meetings. Get the enthusiasm back into AA, please. Keep loving and caring for each other. You see, years ago when I came in, if I got a 12-step call, off went the food, out came the ironing cord. If I was even having sex, that had to stop. Everything stopped to run to pick up a drunk. And I used to bring the drunk into my home because there was no rehabs or halfway homes or nothing 54 years ago. Nothing did you have. And I used to say to Mr. Bailey, can I bring this drunk? I'm stuck out here in the street with the drunk. He said, yeah, bring him in. And sometimes he would help me with a drunk over the weekend so we could get that drunk back on his job. I couldn't find their cars, though. I lost many a car because they don't know where they park them themselves. You know that. But I would have that drunk back on his job on a Monday. From July the 11th, 1952, till today, which is August the 4th, I believe, I have not been a day without one of you. Not a day in my knowledge. I'm at a meeting 5 years ago, and I went into a coma. And from the coma, I went into a stroke. All this right side was doing this in the head and the leg. And I asked one of my grandchildren to watch me at night to see if I was doing it in my sleep. I was. And one day I decided, I'm so sick of this shaking. I reached over and turned on my radio. I love music. That's why I tell you to come on into AA, go to those group anniversaries, do the slide. Do the slide. Yeah. And do the bumpy bump. You know, they do the bumpy bump. Yeah, you don't come in here to drop dead. No. No. So I turned that radio on and a jazz station came on and I took the shakes and I was just shaking with the jazz. Honey, that stroke left me. That stroke left me. And my friends are disfigured from strokes. They can't talk. They can't walk. And look what God has done. I didn't do that. I'm not that powerful, but I do know these rooms are healing rooms. I don't care what's going on in your life. Make sure you get to an hour meeting and stop bitching about an hour meeting. Do I have to go to them meetings? I don't want to be bothered with them meetings. Them drunks is crazy. And then you get sober, you see how crazy you were too. Yeah. But a lousy hour will save your life and save somebody else's life. It's not just you anymore, not just me. I want to tell each one of you so dearly. You got that time sign up? Yeah, good. I want to tell each one of you so dearly how grateful I am for these days that I've had with you. I hope you never forget Liz Bailey. I hope you never forget how much she loves you, how she'll go to any lengths for any one of you. And I never, you know, they say, oh, you're always so busy. It's the busy people that got the time. It's the people that don't do nothing that don't have the time. Believe me when I tell you. Believe me when I tell you. Believe me. Get busy. Get into action. This whole fellowship is about action. Fellowship. Working and loving and caring for each other. That's all I know. You've got over half my life here. August the 15th, I'll be 85, and I mean a swinging 85. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm going to tell you like the big book says, and I'm going to close. If you have not gotten a higher power by night, now, please find one. My daughter happens to be a Muslim. I have 17 grandchildren that I see by appointment only. No, I don't believe in babysitting anymore, girls. I'm sorry. I'm too busy taking care of Liz, taking care of me, and enjoying my last days. I want to enjoy every day that God gives me. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let me be glad and rejoice in it instead of whining and complaining. Because when you rejoice, He'll give you everything that you need. Believe me, when you whine and complain, you keep yourself down. And you don't want that. And get out of the negative and get into the positive of life. Again, it's a wonderful life. It's wonderful. I can't even express it. It's so wonderful. I have to watch myself with it. It gets so good, it scares the devil out of you. And I notice most of you drunks can't handle good. No, I watch that. But the attitude plus gratitude will equal your recovery. Find something every day to be grateful for if it's just one thing. And I don't care how down you are, it'll pull you up. It'll pull you right up. Gratefulness. And find a God of your own understanding. My daughter happens to be a Muslim. And she says, Mother, are you accepting me as a Muslim? I said, you join Hinduism, Buddhism, I really don't care whose ism. As long as it helps you be a better person. I'm not raising my children anymore. They're 66, 50, 50. Those are the two I have left. And a mother rather go before their children. But I thank God I was in AA that I could see my children go before me. So love each other, please. Speak nice to each other. Do nice things with each other. That's the AA that I know. And if you can get a May grapevine, you'll read in there just like I've spoken to you today. That's the interview I had over the telephone. And I had to call them and thank them that they did such a terrific job. So read that May grapevine of this year, and it's wonderful. And get the subscriptions anyway. They're nice meetings away from home. Okay, not that I'm promoting anything. You know, no, I'm not doing that. We don't do that in AA. No. But I'd just like to leave something nice with you. God be with all of you. God be with all of you. And when you say that Lord's Prayer, please listen to the words. They're very important words. I heard back in New York they want to take the Lord's Prayer out of AA. But for 70-some years it's been said all day and night, and I don't think my Father's going to let that happen. Because it's so powerful to us.